In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel, the parable of the sower, is somewhat unusual in that our Lord himself provides the interpretation of it. And for that reason, Pope Gregory the Great tells us that the gospel requires not explanation, for we already have that from the highest authority, but rather admonition. We should reflect on it and take it to heart. Of course, there are some scripture scholars who believe that the interpretation of the parable was not given by Jesus, but added by the early church. And indeed, there is no doubt that each evangelist, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, shaped the gospel message for his own community and also in accord with his own theological vision. But there is also no doubt that the words of our Lord, as reported by the evangelists, are prophetic. They are not meant to apply only to the disciples, but also to the early church and indeed to the church today. We each need to look into our own lives and to ask how we have received the gospel message in our hearts and what fruit it has borne in our thoughts and words and deeds. And as we reflect on this parable and its relevance in our lives, there are a couple of points we should keep in mind. First, the practice of broadcasting seed is not just some eccentric behavior on the part of a sower. Rather, it was the standard method of planting in much of Israel, where there is little arable land and you cannot sow seed, as we can here in America, in neat rows in large fertile fields. So Jesus' parable, while it has a symbolic meaning, is taken from the practical experience of agriculture in ancient Israel. His disciples and his audience knew that not all seed falls on fertile ground, nor does it all bear fruit equally. Second, Pope Gregory notes that in the versions of the parables in the Gospels of St. Matthew and St. Mark, it is not simply riches, but rather the lure or deceit of riches which chokes the word of God, like thorns choke a seed of wheat. And Gregory says that those riches are deceitful riches, which can be ours only for a little while. And further, those riches are deceitful, which cannot relieve the poverty of our souls. The only true riches are those which make us rich in virtue, for these last forever. If then you seek to be rich, earnestly desire the true riches. If you would be truly honorable, strive after the kingdom of heaven. If you love the bravery of titles, hasten to have your names written down in the kingdom of heaven, where the angels are. And take to heart the Lord's words, which your ears hear, for the food of the soul is the word of God. And finally, I think if we are looking for an example of what it means to bear fruit a hundredfold, we can do no better than to look at the magnificent reading from St. Paul in his second epistle to the Corinthians. There, Paul tells us of his many sufferings, which read like an adventure novel. He was in prison, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, and spent a day and night in the depths of the sea. He was in peril from his own people and from the Gentiles, in peril in the city and in the wilderness and on the sea, in peril from false brethren. He suffered from hunger and thirst, cold and nakedness. And yet, in the midst of all his sufferings, he says, "Who is weak, and I am not weak?" He does not glory in the good things which God has given him in his visions and revelations. Rather, he glories in his infirmities, for power is made perfect in weakness. The grace of God is alone sufficient to sustain us. If we can accept that grace in our own lives, if we can become weak and infirm like our Lord and like his apostle St. Paul, then we too can bear spiritual fruit in our own lives, 30, 60, or 100-fold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.